I thank God for this opportunity to stand before you. I'm humbled by this opportunity because Pastor Wood could have chosen someone else. God could have chose someone else, but he chose little old me. So I am so grateful to be able to come into your homes this morning or wherever you are. Our scripture this morning is going to come from Luke chapter 23. And I'll be reading verses 32 through 34 and then 39 through 43. Again, that's Luke 23, verses 32 through 34 and 39 through 43. And God's word reads, "Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When they came to the place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross, and the criminals were crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing.'" Verse 39, "One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, 'So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it.' But the other criminal protested, 'Don't you fear God, even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong.' Then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus replied, 'I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" Today I want to talk to you about the three crosses. Three crosses. Over 2,000 years ago, three men were led up a hill to a place called the Skull, Golgotha, or Calvary. It was custom that the victim would carry their own cross. The Romans would have them take the longest route as a warning for bystanders. Crucifixion was a feared and shameful form of execution. It was the worst method of execution and was only used for the lowest type of criminal. Death would come from exhaustion and suffocation instead of from loss of blood. As the condemned lost their strength due to their body weight making breathing difficult. Crucifixion would cause the greatest pain to the victim before death. The nail would sever the nerve. This type of execution could provide hours of entertainment for the onlookers. Imagine the scene. Jesus is being led away by soldiers. The title on the cross was Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. It was written in three different languages. Hebrew, the language of religion. Greek, the language of education. And Latin, the language of government. Pilate didn't think Jesus was guilty, but the religious leaders demanded Jesus' death, so much that they were willing to let a guilty man go free. The night before, Jesus had been in the garden praying so hard that he sweated drops of blood. Imagine Jesus already exhausted from everything that had happened up until this point. The unjust trial, going from Pilate to Herod, being questioned by Herod, but Jesus kept silent, only to be sent back to Pilate. Pilate still not finding anything worthy of death, hearing the crowd saying, "Crucify him, crucify him," being chastised. Then carrying the cross up the hill. Along the way, just by chance, Simon was coming into the city. The soldiers seized, forced, drafted, laid hold upon Simon, put the cross on him, and made him carry it behind Jesus. We can only imagine how Simon felt. For Simon, it may have just been wood. But for us, the cross is a symbol of love. A love so strong that Jesus would willingly endure the pain that came with the cross for his enemies, for you, and for me. Had Simon heard about the man he was helping? Perhaps. I'm not sure if Simon knew who Jesus was, But imagine when he realized who he was helping carry the cross. I would think that his life was changed because of the experience. Simon was forced, but he helped Jesus. We are blessed to feel his presence, but imagine being in his physical presence, walking with him, hearing his voice, feeling the anointing pouring out of him, to see this man bruised, tired, but moving forward, not saying a word until he said, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing." For a while now, I've been hearing God speak to my heart, real love. But real love is what he offered with no strings attached. His love forgives and looks past what we're going through and forgives those who are trespassing against him. They didn't ask for forgiveness. They definitely didn't deserve it. But real love. Okay, back to the three crosses. Simon, he could have been thinking. What could he have been thinking? What? Forgive those who cause your pain, anguish, and death? Who is this man? This had to be a life-altering experience for Simon. We too have life-altering experiences with our Savior that began with salvation. There was a large group of people following him. Some of the women were weeping and wailing for Jesus. And Jesus turns to him and says, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, 'Blessed is the barren and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck.' Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" This brings us to the beginning of our text. Three crosses. All three crosses and the bearers went up the hill together. They were all part of the same scene. They all heard the insensitive remarks as well as the sympathetic cries. The two thieves or malefactors that were executed with Jesus were mentioned in all the Gospels, but Luke goes into more detail. Matthew 27:44 reads, "Even the revolutionaries were crucified with him. They ridiculed him in the same way." Mark 15:32, "Even the men who were crucified with Jesus ridiculed him." John simply mentions the two others were crucified with him, one on either side, with Jesus between them. The first cross we want to talk about is rejection. Verse 39, it says, "One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, 'So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too.'" While you're at it, Matthew, Mark, and John tell us of two thieves that were crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. If I can use my sanctified imagination, I would say that the criminal in verse 30 was on the left, and he represented the goats in Matthew chapter 25. This man was in the presence of the king. He just witnessed the way Jesus had been treated. He heard Jesus say, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." But this man, he joins in with the crowd and belittles Jesus. "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it. Save yourself and save us too." This man is about to die. And instead of getting to know the man on the middle cross, he decides to join in with the crowd. He had no remorse for the wrong he had done. Instead, he mocked the one that had the power to save his soul from eternal damnation. He represents the goats, or those who rejected salvation offered by Jesus. To reject is to refuse to have, take, recognize. He, along with others in the crowd, and many since that day, refused to take the free gift that Jesus offered long ago. It's not normal to reject a gift. After all, the person giving the gift probably took a lot of thought into the gift before purchasing it. They took the time to carefully wrap the package getting it ready to present to the person receiving the gift. God did the same from the very beginning. God did the same from the very beginning. He knew that we would need a Savior. So he prepared his son to be the perfect gift to humanity without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. This day had been in the making from the very beginning and was finally here. But this malefactor, this criminal, he missed the value of the gift, and in doing so, he rejected the gift, living for the moment instead of looking for the future. Those who reject salvation will be condemned to death because of sin. I'm not judging, I'm just stating the facts. Matthew 25 gives the picture of the Son of Man coming in his glory with all of the holy angels sitting on his throne. All nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them as the shepherd divided his sheep from the goat. The sheep will be on the right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." On those on the left, he will say to them, "Depart from me into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Facts, not judgment. It's sad, but true. There will be many who are like this criminal and those in the crowd. They have been in the presence of the holy and righteous one. They have felt his anointing, seen his miracles, experienced his forgiveness, but still will not sell out for Christ and accept this free gift of salvation. This criminal knew firsthand that Jesus took on the sins of the world, but those who reject Jesus will die in their sin and spend eternity in the lake of fire. He, along with others in the crowd and today, failed to see that Jesus accomplished salvation by his death. The first cross, rejection. The second cross, repentance. Verse 40, but the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man, he hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." I can just feel the humility there. Remember me. Remember me. I mentioned earlier that in the other gospels, both criminals mocked Jesus. But something happened along the way, and Luke thought it necessary to share with us that this man on the second cross, he changed his tune. If I can use my sanctified imagination again, I would say that the criminal in this verse was the criminal on the right, and he represented the sheep in Matthew chapter 25. Evidently, the man on the second cross feared God. Had he grown up in the church but got caught up with the wrong crowd? Had his friends witnessed to him so he had knowledge of God but not relationship? Did his co-workers let their light shine in the workplace? Did someone witness to him in the market one day? For us today, did someone talk to us at the gas pump? It does not tell us, but his question implies that he had a fear of God. He recognized that their punishment was just for the crimes that they had committed. But Jesus, he hadn't done anything wrong. He recognized that Jesus was innocent. He had a heart change. His heart was repentant. He felt sorrow and regret. He rebuked his companion. He recognized that they deserved what they were getting. But Jesus hadn't done anything wrong. He didn't deserve what he was getting. Repentance, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me. His heart was softened. This change of heart is called repentance, something every believer must do. It is necessary to have relationship with God. He recognized that there was something about this man on the middle cross. This criminal became a sheep that day at the last moment, just in the nick of time. Just know that it is never too late to repent. We must not write someone off because we don't feel like they or think that they will be saved. We don't get to make that call. God is full of grace and mercy. Our hope is that our loved ones don't put off salvation, but be encouraged that they still have time until their last breath to get it right with the man upstairs. It is by faith that we are all saved, not by our works. Anyone turning to God in genuine repentance and faith will be saved. The second cross, repentance. The third and final cross, redemption. Verse 43, as Jesus replied, I assure you, it is going to happen. I promise you that today you will be with me in paradise. Redemption is the action of saving or being saved from sin, error, or evil. This third cross represents redemption, something we could not accomplish on our own. The sin offering offered in the Old Testament could not accomplish it. Adam, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Ruth, David, Mary, they could not accomplish it. But God needed someone, not just anyone, but God needed to come in the flesh to redeem humanity. We see that Jesus rewards the second criminal's faith with the promise that that very day they would be together in paradise. Imagine hearing Jesus say, today you will dwell with me in God's presence. We see Jesus, our Redeemer, on that last cross. He purchased us back. The debt that we could not pay, he paid. A holy, righteous, perfect, blameless, sinless Lamb. The Son of Man, the Son of God. The Holy One, the Chosen One. The Good Shepherd, Emmanuel. The Bread of Life. King of kings and Lord of lords, Alpha and Omega, Light of the world, Prince of peace, Wonderful Counselor, Lamb of God, our Messiah. Jesus chose to take that walk that day more than 2,000 years ago. He took the pains of the world on his back. He gave up his rights that we might have the right to the tree of life. He struggled as we do. When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he kneeled down to pray. Father, if thou wilt be willing, remove this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. God sent his angel from heaven to strengthen him. He was in agony, praying more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He was God in the flesh, so he knew what was ahead of him. He did it for those who were flogging and mocking him, those who spat on him and struck him on his head. He did it for those who shouted, crucify him. He did it for the two thieves on the cross. And he did it for you and for me. The third cross, redemption. As we approach Resurrection Sunday, we see the three crosses on many church lawns. The cross in the middle represents the cross Jesus was on. Many will have a purple cloth draped on the middle cross. He gave the gift of salvation through his death. It's your choice to accept the gift. It's up to you. No one can make that decision for you. What greater gift than to give him your repentant heart? Look up at the cross. Imagine Jesus that day with his arms stretched wide. He did that for you. Take the time to finish reading the chapter. You'll read that at about noon. darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Suddenly, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle from the top to the bottom. As Jesus breathed his last breath, the Roman officer overseeing the execution saw what had happened. He worshiped God and said, "Surely this man was innocent." Hopefully, he fully repented that day. And the crowd that came to see the crucifixion went home with deep sorrow. The miracle in it all is that 3 days later, he was walking around again. Who wouldn't want to serve a God like that? He got up with all power in his hands. It's a heart thing. The one malefactor's heart was hard and wicked to the very end. But the other, he recognized greatness in the man on the middle cross. Will you reject or repent? The choice is yours. Take a look at the cross. This time, don't imagine the physical weight of the cross, but imagine instead the weight of the sin that was on his shoulder. My sin, your sin, the sin of the two criminals, the sin of the crowd, the sin of the world. What better gift to give the giver of life, your life? As I close, I offer Christ to you, oh my brother. I offer Christ to you, oh my sister. He will give you brand new life. Life abundantly. Oh, come to Christ. God bless you. As we prepare for Resurrection Sunday, just remember what those three crosses represent: rejection, repentance, redemption. God bless you.
We know that you have been blessed through the hearing of God's word on this day. We invite you to join us at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, located at 4813 Hilltop Needmore Road, Fuquay's Arena, North Carolina. For more information, you can contact our ministry at 919-552-3531 or visit our website at www.newprovidencebaptist.com. Thank you for joining us, and be blessed.